Good morning, everyone. I'm Mark Parsons, pastor of Great Hope Christian Fellowship Church here in Tampa, and those who may be listening on the internet as well as those who are here today, may God bless you and may you have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. It is on my heart today to share with us, and I've titled this sharing, Forgetting the Past and Reaching Forward. Forgetting the Past and Reaching Forward. I think that is pretty significant. Something that Paul has said, and we'll get to that in just a moment. Paul said that in Philippians chapter 3, but we're not going to go there right now. I just want to read something out of Philippians 3 before he says that about forgetting the past and pressing on. But first thing he does say in Philippians 3:1, I just want to share this, then we're going to go someplace to try to get some understanding here of where he's coming from. But in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, Paul says, before he says anything else, and I think it's significant. I think what he says is significant. But he says, finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard for you. And right there, when I read that, Mike, when it says, finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord, period. I'm really wanting to pursue this a little bit when he says, he's writing a letter, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what's happened in your life, even as of a minute ago, that alone in the past, historically, he's encouraging them to rejoice in the Lord, or to have and experience the joy of the Lord, or to praise the Lord. And he stops right there. And so he's encouraging the brethren to rejoice in the Lord. How many of you know it's pretty hard to rejoice when you are in the midst of circumstances, and I want to say, no matter what they may be. A lot of us are real cool and we are fine under certain circumstances. But others in the same circumstance are not fine. And so there's no pointing of the finger to any of you. No matter what you may be going through, or no matter what your no matter what is, nobody in God's body and His church should be taking that lightly. But everybody needs to be encouraged that no matter what your circumstances are, we need to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ that we can rejoice and that we can praise Him, and that our joy will not be robbed because of those circumstances. And I'm telling you what, you can just start right now, and I can give everybody a tablet, and you can just fill it up with what you may consider those circumstances are in your life or have been. And whether you've been successful of praising the Lord, rejoicing in the Lord, looking to the Lord, or if you failed. And some of us can really get down on ourselves and judge ourselves and chastise ourselves and whip ourselves pretty good if we feel we haven't been successful of looking to the Lord under certain circumstances. And how many of you would agree of what you know about Paul that he has certainly been proven and also most capable of being qualified to write a letter like this and saying to the church of God, you know, finally, I want to encourage you to rejoice because he has found himself rejoicing under great, great, great duress. Now, there was a time, I want us to go there with one example. I'm not going to go through all the examples, but just one example. And if we're not talking about Jesus, our Lord and Savior, what he went through, because he certainly was faithful to the Father to the very end.
I just want to give an example of Paul here in Scripture of something he went through and something he was able to do under great, great duress. And if you would turn with me to this example in Acts chapter 16, here we have Paul living his life, minding God's business. How many of you want to mind God's business more than your business? I mean, quite often we're busy minding our business instead of God's business. But you need to let God, you need to let God be in your business. You need to let your business be God's business. You need to let your possessions be God's possessions. You need to let your thoughts be God's thoughts. You need to let your dreams be God's dreams. You need to let your homes, your real estate, your cars, your clothing, your food, your turkeys coming Thanksgiving be God's possessions. You need to let it all be God's business. And I would hope that I have a desire to do that, to be there, no matter what happens, no matter what happens. I really want to be there in a state of being able to rejoice under such duress at times. Or times of pleasure, also realizing this is a God thing. My trip that I went on, it was wonderful to see people in Ohio and Tennessee, but I was aware that I was God's child there. And I wasn't under duress or anything. I was just doing things, but I was grateful in the moment to be there and to allow me to be a child of God, aware of God, and God with me in the circumstances I was in. That was great, and it's always great to be that way. So whether it's cloudy or whether it's sunny, we need to be walking with Jesus Christ no matter what happens. Well, here's Paul in Acts 16 along with Silas. And let's start with verse 16. Acts 16:16, and just look at this situation that they're in and look at the response. In Acts 16:16, and it happened as we were going to the place of prayer, a certain slave girl having a spirit of divination met us, who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune telling. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, "These men are bond servants of the Lord of the Most High God, who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation. These men are bond servants of the Most High God, who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." Over and over again, she was proclaiming this. In verse 18, and she continued doing this for many days. Wow, that'd get a little annoying, wouldn't it? You know? But Paul was greatly annoyed and turned and said to the Spirit. It was not the Spirit of God, but it was a spirit, that's for sure. And even though the Spirit was saying something, it seemed okay. These men of God are bond servants of the Lord Most High, who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation. Over and over again, they kept saying that these guys are bond servants proclaiming to you the way of salvation. That sounds good, but it was a spirit. It was a demonic spirit. It was an annoying spirit. It was a badgering spirit, and they kept proclaiming it in a mocking way. In a mocking way that was being done. And so here we have Paul was greatly annoyed in verse 18 and turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out at that very moment. Paul in no way would be casting out a spirit of God out of the Spirit of God. So it was an evil spirit badgering them. But when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. And when they had brought them to the chief magistrates, they said, "These men are throwing our city into confusion, being Jews, and are proclaiming customs which it is not lawful for us to accept or to observe, being Romans." I want to say this, as the Church of Jesus Christ continue our journey in these days that we're living right now, there's going to come a time when it won't be lawful for us to do the things that we're doing, because laws are going to be changed to come against what you are doing in obedience to the Lord. But the law of the land says you can't do it. Wake up! Church, it says right here, our laws do not permit them to do what they're doing. And they keep aggravating us. with this Jesus and this salvation, this message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have a law against that. We don't believe that. And right now, I see it happening.
Yes.
It's sneaky, it's slippery, it's surreptitious. But laws are being passed even as we sleep to come against the true church of Jesus Christ. We are being pushed out to the margin of everyday lawmaking, city council, everyday activities of what government is doing. Not individuals necessarily. There's a lot of boatload of people that love the Lord in this world. Millions of them do. And they are not going to be pushed out of their faith relationship of Jesus Christ. No, they're not. No matter what, Michelle. No matter what. But it's happening, y'all. It is happening. Every day in the paper, I see laws being passed and things being permitted that are an abomination in the sight of God. Wow. In verse 21, let's look at it again. And proclaiming customs which it is not lawful for us to accept or to observe, being Romans. And the crowd rose up together against them. The crowd. Seems like the crowd's coming against the church. And the chief magistrates tore their robes off them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods over words and belief that they have. America, the land of the free, freedom of religion, being more restricted. There are even some cults and religions being more accepted than Christianity. And being tolerant with them. But when you mention Jesus, when you mention Christianity, you're judging. Don't come and judge me that way. We got laws. We're going to do what we want to do. You take your Bible and you have it for yourself, but don't bring it out here. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them. It didn't say he handled them carefully. He threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. My Lord and my God, what have they done wrong? Really, what have they done wrong to an individual? And yet, look what treatment they're receiving. But this is what I'm saying. No matter what the conditions are in your life and my life, look what they experienced. Look what happens. But about midnight, Paul and Silas, what were they doing? What's your Bible say?
Praying
and singing hymns of praise to God. And look at this. I don't know if you ever noticed this before. I know you heard about it. The prisoners were listening to them. I stopped right there when I was looking at this, trying to identify with this. And I want to say this. The prisoners of the world right now, the dead prisoners in the world right now are listening and watching you. Whether you got some praise in you or not. Whether you got some thanksgiving in you or not. But when they see you at the 7-Eleven, knowing you're a Christian, acting like a jerk for stepping on some bubble gum and messing up your pretty little shoes that you're on the way to or whatever, maybe a baptism or something. Oh, man. Oh, I can't believe this. Oh, I can't believe it. Gum all over my shoes. Just all fretting and all turned around. And your world is turned upside down because you stepped on some bubble gum at a 7-Eleven. You're on your way to a baptism or a praise session or wherever you're going. You see what I mean? These guys had just been beaten with rods and thrown into prison and shackled. And they have a choice, is all I'm saying, church. We have a choice. Don't worry about the bubblegum. Don't worry about whatever. You don't have money for gas or what, old boohoo, whatever. Get some change, get on a bus or whatever. But don't worry about these little things in our life. You're not being persecuted. And what choice are you making? All I'm saying is, in that moment, what choice are you making? I want to ask you, have you done something like this recently where you have stepped on, maybe not bubblegum, but maybe your dog's, neighbor's dog's droppings or something, and that upsets you or whatever, walking through your yard. Have you had something happen to you where you're ashamed that shouldn't have happened? Your reaction. Should not have happened. No. And then have you gone through this whole process, or, Lord, you saw the anger, you saw how upset I was, and Lord, do I really know you? You ever gone through this? Do I really know you? I shouldn't be doing that. Do I really know you? I mean, what is my relationship with you? I shouldn't be doing that. The clenching of the fist, the pounding of the counter, the yolk won't come off the plate. It's somebody let it sit all night. You know how yolk can set up? But you're cleaning it up, and you're trying to get it off, but it's not as easy. It would have been so easy if they just done it when it was running. You know what I'm saying? These little, crazy little things in your life? Things that go on. And I think that maturation, the maturing process, should be happening. I always say to us, it's a pilgrim's progress, not digress. We should be growing and maturing in the ways of God and not letting the things of the world draw us down. And you weren't even rotted. You weren't even beaten, thrown in prison, and yet look how we are at times. Does that make sense? Look how we are at times. And suddenly, and I want to say this again, the prisoners were listening to them and hearing them worship and praise God. These prisoners were heathen, by the way. I mean, the other prisoners. Most of them were probably heathen, just thrown there because they deserved to be there. In verse 26, and suddenly there came a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. Wow. And when the jailer had been roused out of sleep and had seen the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners were escaped, because if they were under their guard. Paul and Silas were under their guard, the gatekeepers, you know, the jailers. And if they escaped, then they would also, their life would be required. So they were about ready to kill himself. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." And he called for the lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" I just want to say this. Are other people watching you, seeing you in your daily life, and have such a stirring in their heart with what they see in you that they're asking the question, "What must I do to be saved? Because I want to serve the God that you serve. I saw you go through some things. I saw that to me it would aggravate me, but you weren't aggravated by it. It didn't bother you like it would have in the past and did in the past, and it doesn't bother you. I would like to know the God that you serve." Are people looking at you in such a way? I'm not talking about how you dress and you're putting on going around all day like a monk and all this type of thing and acting holy. I'm just talking about being the real person in the real world, walking with Jesus Christ. Are other people seeing Christ Jesus in you? And do you praise and worship God in the midst of all the stuff that could be so aggravating? And we can go on about that, right? We all know. Just tell me, a story, be here all day long, be here for a week, telling me what aggravates you. I know it does. It aggravates me to see it. I mean, I didn't know it aggravates you. But what I was doing, for those who may be listening, I'm biting my nails, drive me crazy. You drive me up the wall and down the other side, you see people biting their nails, and there's no nails there. They're all gone. It's down to the quick. For years, I've observed this. And I said, man. But you see, that's them. Now, that's what they're doing. It could aggravate you. Now, what are you going to do? For every action is a reaction. You know, what are you going to do? And so you got to let it go. You ever been with somebody else driving and you're not in control? You are not in control. They are. How many of you aggravated somebody else to death over what they did and what they're doing wrong when they're driving because you're not driving. Man, how long are you going to wait? I'm never going to get out of here. Pull out, pull out. And boy, if they do that and listen to you, you're going to be dead. Let them pull out when they're comfortable pulling out, not when you're comfortable with them pulling out. It's just thing after thing. Purple nail polish. Yuck. I would never do that. Yeah, you wouldn't, but I like purple. You know? And so, you know, it's just crazy. It can go on and on. How many of you know in these things that I'm mentioning, and you can just amplify it, know you have changed. It just doesn't bother you anymore. And so all we're saying today is we're giving you an example of somebody who's been beaten to a pulp, there's blood all over the back, their ropes have been ripped off, and I'm going to go into this about a rod again, but the rod, you know, a rod, either a very hard, whatever, hickory type stick or whatever, just beating you unmercifully, you're bleeding all over the place, you're going to throw you in jail, put you in stock for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and casting out a demon out of somebody that was making money, you know, doing these things, going around and pretentiously and in a very demonic way, making the master's money by doing that. And so you cast that spirit out, and now we're going to lock you up for that. There's no law against that, you see. It shouldn't be. But governments have laws. And we're going to see more laws where you cannot do certain things that God gives you the freedom to do. So no matter what, are we going to serve Him? I believe with all my heart. Today, good old November the 10th. Is that today?
Today.
November the 10th, 2013. It's coming. And the church better get ready. And how do you get ready? By downloading Jesus. By downloading Jesus today. Don't let anybody, the world didn't give it to you, they can't take it away, and really trying to apply in your daily life, loving your sisters, loving your brothers, loving your mother, loving your father, loving your fellow Christians, and loving those that are without, that don't know Jesus enough to care for them and to pray for their salvation and to reach out to them in the name of Jesus Christ. I mean, it really is. It's a life of sacrifice. So when Paul and Silas were praising the Lord, do they not know how to write a letter about praising the Lord under duress? That's all I'm saying. He has credentials to write a letter about telling the church to rejoice and praise the Lord before he says anything else. He's talking about rejoicing and praising God, and he says this while he's under great duress, so to me he's qualified to write a letter like that. And so if somebody's reading a letter by Paul, and he's writing like this, and they say, well, what do you know about praising God under duress? You don't know what that's all about. Well, don't say that about Paul. Afflicted, crazy. And most people, if we can't even go there with our mind, had gone through what he'd gone through. I'm not talking about Jesus. I'm just talking about Paul here and all the other things that in scriptures tell us about what he went through. How many times he's beaten and all those type of things. So, this is my brother. This is all I'm saying. This is my brother that loves Jesus, and I love Paul, and I don't want to be Paul, but I want to be what Jesus wants me to be in my day, and I don't want to back down and lacking praising and worshiping God under my duress. And I have failed in that area at times, and I don't like it. And how many of you hate it when you do fail, and you do your own little thing, and you are so upset over whatever, name it, and you just kind of feel like you failed, you know, and you hate it. How many of you ever felt that way? You hate it. But God loves you, and He's not going to throw you away. He's not done with you, and you do love Him, and you are saved, and you're His child. So don't beat yourself up, any of us. And say, Mark, don't look at me. When you say that, I'm looking at everybody. I'm looking at everybody, okay? We all are in the same situation. We need to trust God more so. And so, when Paul writes this in Philippians, back to Philippians, chapter 3, verse 1. Ephesians, Philippians. When he says to them, I just had to stop there. I had to camp out there. He starts his letter and he says, Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord to write the same things again. It is no trouble to me, and it's a safeguard for you. It's safe for you, the King James says. No trouble for me to write the same things again. Beware the dogs, verse 2, Philippians 3. Beware of the evil workers, beware of the false circumcision, for we are the true circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. I want to read through this, okay, because we're going to close here in just a little bit. But I want to read through this. Please follow this, because we can camp out on almost every word. But let's just get the gist of what he's saying, okay? Would you read along with me here? In verse 4, although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. And he goes into his credentials. Circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness, which is in the law, found blameless. But whatever things were gained to me, these things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. And may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. And verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already, verse 12, okay, we're getting to this conclusion here. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect. Any perfect people in here? We serve a perfect God, though, don't we? So don't look at somebody else and justify your anger or your actions and look at them and say, well, get over it, I'm not perfect. Have you ever seen that kind of an attitude? Well, I'm not perfect, so don't judge me. Even though that's true, sometimes people use that as an excuse. Well, I'm not perfect, so, you know, who cares, type of thing. A bad attitude. But Paul says, not that I have already obtained it or have become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. He laid a hold of me, so I'm going to lay hold of him, in other words. He has touched my heart with his love. Now I'm going to go after that love with all my heart to the day I die. Just like if the man buried a treasure in a field, what would you do if I buried a treasure out here? If I buried $100,000 or buried a gold, a gold bullion out there or whatever, or $1 million. If you had whatever you have and it's a whole lot less than what that's worth, would you not sell everything you have? All your kids, I don't mean kids, children. All your kid goats. All your animals, all your farm belongings, everything that you have, your cars, your house, you would sell everything you have and go after and find that treasure. And that's given as a parable. Once again, not kids, not children. We're talking about your kid goats. We want to get rid of the kids. It says, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. Wow. How many of you can remember all the stupid, crazy stuff you've done? Because memory is something from the Lord. How many of you remember all the wonderful things you've done? The good, the bad, the ugly, all of it. Sometimes memory can be, you can go back in the files and bring out some great stuff as a teaching. But sometimes memory is not so fun revisiting.
but it's still there. I mean, if I ask Paul, did they beat you? Well, I don't remember that. No, he does remember that. But what did he do when they did beat him? He says, well, I rejoiced and praised the Lord. He remembers that. So how many of you would have rather have the mind and the heart that you have now than in your history? Well, I would. I would like to go back and redo some things over again, but I can't. So here comes the precious love of Jesus forgiving us from anything and everything we've ever done, no matter how bad you think you are or whatever it is. God forgives us. And salvation is a point in time when we come, I want to confess Jesus Christ is my Lord. I believe in my heart that He is Lord, and I believe that God raised Him from the dead. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. A point in time when that happened, yes, but have you failed after that? Yes! I don't know of any example in Scriptures. You know, how many of you agree that Moses and the Lord were tight? Moses. He and the Lord had a very, very close relationship for many years in his life. What did Moses do when God said to speak to the rock? He struck the rock in anger, and it cost him a trip to the promised land. a free trip to the promised land. There it is, man. He saw it at a distance. They said, you are not going to enter because of your disobedience. But God buried Moses. And Moses is with the Lord. He appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration with Elijah and Moses. There he is. Well, he's God's man. But he did love the Lord, and yet he was angry, and he struck the rock. How many of you have struck things in your heart, either struck them toward an individual, you know, with your fist, or you pictured yourself, whatever, doing something that's not very nice toward them, or saying something not very nice, as a Christian? And you screamed, or you pouted, or you shouted, or whatever, or you threw something. Quite often I'd use the example of a chair. You get so mad, you pick up a chair, you throw it to the window to let them know how mad you really are. Well, now you got a window repair of $300-$400 or whatever, and then you got to clean up all the glass, and you got to get the chair, it's probably all scraped up, and you got to go buy a new chair. And then you turn around, you're so mad, you throw it back inside. I mean, that's mad. You know? But I just want to say, how many of you have done things in your heart that way that changes are taking place? You know God loves you. He's not going to throw you out. You know, God is teaching you and training you, but sometimes it's hard to kick against the Lord's discipline, isn't it? We want to kick. We don't like that. Addie does not like it sometimes when we discipline her. She does not like it, and she'll tell you about it. But we say we can do it the easy way, or we can do it the hard way. And she understands. I don't mean hard like it's going to, you know, kill her and all that kind of thing. You do it the easy way, you do it the hard way. But you've got to learn. If you let it go, it's out of control. You're off the chain. You're just out of control. And I see children that way. I'm not going to share it with you now, but there are stories about very young children who are in total control. Total control. We see that in our schools. We see that in our homes. We see those children coming up to become mayor of the city, maybe. I'm not talking about our mayor necessarily. I'm just talking about they become political people that were that way when they were children, and they're kind of that way in their heart in these laws and beliefs that they have and the gods that they serve. Off the chain. And they're governing our business as a city, as a state, as a nation. We've all had our share of poor and foolish decisions and choices in the past. All have miserably failed and sinned in the sight of God. However, Isaiah speaks of a glorious freedom and emancipation from our sins through the redemption in the blood of Jesus Christ. He says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. If you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. The wrath of God, the judgment of God is coming. Shout it from the rooftops. There's a way to avoid that in Christ Jesus. Paul also said that he pressed on to lay hold of Christ, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. Be encouraged to press onward in your daily redemption in Jesus, and don't let the sins of the past, which could be a minute ago, rob you of the love, joy, peace, and salvation Jesus has for you this day. Don't be robbed of the salvation and the joy that Jesus has for you because you were you in a moment of time, either long ago or recently. Salvation is what? Now. It's not just a moment of time. It's now. It's walking in salvation. It's a moment in your life to believe God and to trust Him.
If there's anyone listening to this today, perhaps on the internet or here today, it's meant something to you, make it your business to let go of the past and to reach onward and forward and press forward and onward to do it God's way. Reach to Jesus. He's there. In the book and the movie, I saw it in Pilgrim's Progress. Pilgrim got caught in a slough of despond. An old, green, old, swampy, old, ugly-looking water, and he was in that slough of despond, and he said, "Help." And instantly, there was a hand reaching out and said, "My name is Help." Sometimes we get in a little slough, we get a little mud, and we need to say help, and Jesus says, "My name is Help." For the Christians, for His children, He will get you out and clean you up, and you learn from that, and you go on. Do others see Christ in you, or do they see you in you? So often, so constant, no changes. 10 years ago, you were the same, same old thing, same old, but yet, as long as you have a pulse and breath in your lungs, there's hope that you won't continue to be that way. If there's anyone else that may be listening to this message today, may you make Jesus Christ and trust Him as your Lord and Savior. Accept His invitation to come unto me, because He's the one that said come. And you run after Him and say, "Hey, I'll take you up on that. I want Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior." Do so, and do not tarry to do so, but do it, because time is passing by. And this is your time to do so. God bless you.